Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us today. Mr. Steiner and myself are hosting this call, and we are happy to answer your questions in the question and answer session following a brief introduction. I assume that you already had the chance to have a look at our interim report that we published yesterday. During the first quarter, we saw muted demand in the global potash fertilizer market due to the ongoing negotiations with China as one of the most important potash markets and a still sluggish development in Brazil. Nevertheless, the first quarter started with markedly higher prices than 1 year ago. These price increases more than offset a late fertilizer season in Europe due to the long winter climate and significantly higher energy costs. The adverse weather took its toll also in Campo, where both private and professional gardeners had to wait longer than usual to start the spring season. The other side of the coin is that ESCO had record de-icing salt sales that contributed to the best earnings results so far. While energy, ammonia, and freight prices remained high during quarter one, our attractive dollar hedge noticeably fostered our profitability. Quarter one revenues increased by 8%, while operating earnings rose by 14%. The positive trends should continue in the coming three quarters so that we stick to our favorable outlook for 2006 as a whole. The second slide shows our profit and loss statement for the first quarter. Revenues were up by 60 million euro or 8% on last year. In addition to currency and volume effects, higher prices primarily contributed to this. Besides the positive top-line growth, operating earnings, EBIT 1, grew overproportionally by approximately 14 million euro, or also 14%. Because of lower tax rate measured against the adjusted earnings before taxes, adjusted earnings after taxes increased by even 17%. A tax rate of approximately 35% in relation to the adjusted earnings before taxes is currently our basis of calculation for the whole year. Now a brief glance to our balance sheet at the end of March. The equity ratio increased by 1 percentage point to just under 43%. This was mainly caused by high net income contributions during the past four quarters. The amount of provisions decreased compared to the last year because of a CTA of around 45 million euro that has been carried out in the third quarter of 2005. With regard to the working capital, the increase in receivables was more or less offset by an increase in liabilities. And last but not least, capital expenditure increased by just under 20% due to an overhang from the previous year. The next slide shows that cash flow figures for the first 3 months were very strong. Gross cash flow amounted to 114 million euro. Higher operating earnings more than made up for higher taxes. Cash flow from operating activities increased significantly because of fewer funds tied up in working capital over the quarter. This can be partly explained by markedly lower premium payments in connection with our currency option transactions. Because of this, and despite the usual seasonal pattern, with just under 40 million euro, free cash flow is positive for the first quarter and improved by 110 million euro. At the end of March, our net liquid funds totaled 187.7 million euro, 63 million euro more than last year. Finally, our current outlook for full year 2006. The first quarter has developed promisingly. We expect the positive trend to continue over the coming three quarters. Without taking into account the Chilean SPL, revenues should amount to about 2.9 billion euro. Despite tangibly higher energy costs, operating earnings should also continue to improve. The preconditions for this are that the trend in the US dollar exchange rate will not require any significant follow-up hedging. Worldwide demand for potash fertilizers will stabilize in the second half of the year, and that it will be possible to implement as planned further efficiency enhancement measures in the potash and magnesium products and compo business segments. Besides, it is assumed that the icing sales salt sales in the fourth quarter will be in keeping with the multi-year average. Thank you very much for your attention, and now we are eager to listen to your questions.
Thank you, Dr. Bietzke. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. To cancel your question, please press the star followed by the two. One moment, please, for the first question. Thank you. And the first question comes from Mr. Harald Gruber. Please, sir, state your company name followed by your question.
Yes, good afternoon. Harald Gruber, Westerby. I'd like to know about price trends in the potash and magnesium division. I would be interested whether there were price increases sticking in Eastern Europe, but also whether you would expect significant price increase in Western European potash markets after there would be successful negotiations between Potash Corporation, the Russians, and the Chinese partners.
Fine, Mr. Gruber. May I answer your question here? First of all, price trends in Western Europe. You know that we have recently already increased our prices here in Europe following our normal price patterns. And we normally expect to further increase prices in the international market, not in Europe, because there the patterns are more or less already fixed. We have a clear intention to further increase, but the international price trend is naturally a little bit dependent on the outcome of the Chinese negotiations. I think we will, and I'm convinced that we will see already in some days a very significant price increase there. And concerning the East European price trends, we know that especially the people from White Russia have decreased substantially the price there, perhaps to get a little bit more support from the 10 new member states concerning the new regulations which we expect from Brussels. But I think this is only a very, very small episode and does not reflect the real international price trend. Mm-hmm.
Is the upgrade in your 2006 guidance for group revenues, is this particularly due to likely price increases in potash during the second half of this year?
No, it's not only because of this. I think this is a mixtum compositum of many, many factors. I think, first of all, you will see some improvement in the compo earnings and the compo results. Mm-hmm. This is one thing. Then we have also possibilities to increase in our other areas, especially also in our waste business. Mm-hmm. And naturally, yes, we foresee higher prices and better earnings also in the magnesium and potash business because also of our improved cost situation, which we will have during this year.
Okay.
And might be that there is further impetus from international price developments, but this is not yet taken into account into our forecast for the year 2006.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question comes from Mr. Ralph Aki. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Good afternoon, everyone. Ralph Fecky from Dresdner Kleinwort. A few questions, if I may. The first question relates to your outlook statement where you see Brazilian demand picking up over the course of 2006. Maybe you could give us your assessment of the current farming income situation in Brazil. The second question relates to the agro conditions in Western Europe. Given the currently fairly good agro conditions in Western Europe, do you believe that there will be a full compensation in terms of catching up what was lost due to a late start of the crop season in Q1? Thanks very much.
No, I don't think so. To start with your second question, I think in Europe we will have, during the whole year, a weaker demand, a little bit weaker demand, but especially for the bulk business, for the 60
MOP.
Standard MOP business. But in the opposite, on the other side, in the niche product business, in the magnesium sulfide, in the SOP business, we see nice improvements both on the price and on the quantity side, even in Europe. But we see no substantial hurdle to sell those quantities, which are not very big, in other markets, especially in India, in China, and also in Brazil in the second half. And don't forget also in the other smaller markets, especially in Asia, we see further improvement when you look, for example, to Malaysia and other markets where we are also in. And so we are not irritated about losing market share or to lose quantities in volumes in comparison to last year's. There might be a regional shift a little bit in favor of our internet, more overseas business in comparison to the last year, but this has not a very big influence on our earnings position.
Brazil.
And Brazil, yes, you are right. The first quarter was still lagging a little bit behind, but we have very good customer relations. And when it comes to our quantities, we are more or less on the same quantity level so far as we have been in the last year. And we see at the moment some signs that the business is picking up. So also the other competitors will have a good chance to more or less come to the same volumes, I think, which we all have seen in the last year in Brazil. Does this answer your question, Mr. Ekin?
Thank you very much, Dr. Baker. Yes, it does.
Please.
Thank you. And the next question comes from Mr. Richard Schramm. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Richard Schramm, HSBC. Also, some follow-up questions on potash and magnesia. First, this price decline we have seen from Q1 or 6 versus Q4 or 5. What's the background of this in your figures? And in connection with this, you're obviously very sure that you can sell the excess capacity from Europe in overseas markets, as you just have stated. But overseas markets are obviously those markets which are most under pressure at the moment, because also the Canadians and the Russian producers are looking to sell more volume into these markets over the coming quarters. So do you really see that all the volumes can be absorbed which are planned for the full year? And one question concerning the COMPO division, where we have seen an amazing development with declining volume but higher prices. Can you a bit explain how you did manage this? Was this a special effect, or is pricing power here really big enough to fully compensate all rising costs by passing it on to the customers? Thank you.
Yeah. Fine, Mr. Schramm. The first question is quantities and compensation, and you said especially the overseas markets are a little bit under stress. But look, I think especially the Canadians and the Russians have already made some sacrifices when it comes to quantity. They stopped production, they delayed their deliveries. And I cannot imagine that now in the second half they will completely change their policy. That means that they will change the priority from pricing to quantity. So I think even if we would deliver 100 or 200,000 tons more from Europe to overseas markets, and that's the magnitude in which we are talking here, this will not change, I think, the policy of the big market leaders from Russia and from Canada. And the other question, COMPO, yeah, you have seen we lost 2 million in our earnings in comparison to the last year. This is partly due also the fact that we could not manage to increase the nitrogen component in our fertilizer so high as our costs for nitrogen have increased. But nevertheless, the innovative Entech fertilizers allow us to do a little bit more than that. And at the moment, we see, especially here in Europe, with a good weather, a very good May, and very good volumes also in the consumer business. So I think we can manage to get more volumes, perhaps not the total cost back, but still we are, you know, that we are working on very aggressively on the cost side of COMPO. So all in all together, we are very confident that at the end of this year, we will do also better in the COMPO era. Does this answer your question, Mr. Schramm?
I think there's one question left, yeah. Mr. Schramm. I think you referred to the declining prices in the overseas in the potash and magnesium business segment from Q4 to Q1. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we on the last conference call with regard to the Q4 conference, we said that the price in overseas was too high, actually. So this was due to a stronger U.S. dollar from Q3 to Q4. It was due to a higher SOP business, and it was due to the fact that we had a higher proportion, including the freight, than the quarter before. So the price in Q4 is not, I think, the best prognosis for going forward. And then we supposed to use the average between Q3 and Q4, and if you look now at the Q1 figure, it's exactly in the middle of Q3 and Q4. So I think the price we are showing this quarter, 166.9 euro, is a very good prognosis for going forward. And it's certainly higher than the Q1 figure in 05.
Thank you. Maybe just one clarification on COMPO and the ammonia prices. You mentioned this as a kind of possible risk factor, but it might also contain some upside if prices come down from the currently high level. What is your outlook statement on this? Where do you see really the price development going over the next quarters?
I think, Mr. Schramm, because of the relatively high price level we have and the fact that farmers are very sensitive when it comes to pricing, I do not foresee big price increases for the nitrogen business. We are more or less at the top. If we would get even higher gas prices, and the prognosis in the United States, as you might have seen, is not that the gas price will go up. So I think we now have a certain limit on further price increases coming also from the gas price. And the ammonia price is naturally also a function of the capability of the Americans to be competitive in the ammonia production. And this always defines the FOB price of ammonia when it comes to Yuzhny to the Black Sea. And I think we have reached more or less the peak of the ammonia price. And so I'm confident that we can manage to keep our margins. And if the price would come down a little bit, then even our margin in the consumer business would spread to the positive side. So all in all, I think we have seen the maximum of the ammonia cost price. And so it's a question whether we will be able to further increase a little bit the prices in the POFI business. But this is an open point still.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And the next question comes from Mr. Gunnar Kors. Please state your company name, followed by your question.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Gunnar Kors from Berenberg Bank.
Hello.
I also would like to come back on pricing. Did I understand you correctly that your new guidance now include all the prices you have already introduced to the market, or does it also include some price increases you foresee you might accomplish in the second half of this year? That would be the first question. Secondly, on China, how long can it really go, these negotiations, before it would be too late for China to use the potash for this planting season? Because to my understanding, you have to add it to the soil before the planting.
Yeah.
So I guess there's a certain restriction in terms of how long they can really do that. And if we have a positive outcome in terms of that the potash producers can introduce force China to pay higher prices, would that make look like your guidance conservative?
If China, let's start with the second question, Mr. Kurz. If China will get this price increase, which I expect, then I foresee further price increases, let's say in the fourth quarter, perhaps not yet in the third quarter, but don't oversee especially the Canadians and also the Russians have some cost increases which are not yet in the market, and I think they have a high motivation to further increase prices in the international market in the third and in the fourth quarter. And when, I think, end of this week, next week, the latest, because you are right, farmers need desperately the potash. The stocks are empty. That's what we read. So I think the Chinese have maneuvered themselves into a corner, and now they have to react. That's what I personally expect. And when it comes to prices, as you said, no, we are very conservative. We have not taken into account, when it comes to our guidance for the year, already price increases which are not yet in the market. So there is, the international market prices go up, there is also room for us to further increase our prices in the overseas markets.
Okay, maybe just one minor question here. If I look at the balance of your other operating income and expenses, it is negative in Q1, although I would expect here some hedging gains. Could you maybe explain the reason for this?
One second, where are you referring to? Norbert Steiner speaking, Mr. Kurz.
If you look at into your P&L, and if you look at the balance of other operating income and expenses, it is this year minus 1 million compared to last year's 10 million. But I would also assume here some hedging gains in Q1.
This was the case.
We had less.
Yes. And you can see that also from a comparison of the average US dollar ratio. In the first quarter of 05, we had 117 to 131, and this year we have only 113 to 120. And this is the explanation on that.
This is the only explanation, because that still wouldn't explain here a difference of some 10 million or even 11 million, according to my calculations.
No. This is the only explanation.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And the next question comes from Mr. Dennis Nucken. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hello, it's Dennis Nucken of Helaba Trust. My question relates to the outlook of the salt business. Despite the good results in your salt business in Q1, you stick to your guidance of lower EBIT, slightly lower EBIT in 2006 versus the previous year. If I assume unchanged results in Q2 and Q3, you require only 7 to 8 million euros in EBIT for the last quarter. This seems to me quite conservative, so maybe a green winter for you without desalting salt, de-icing salt. Why are you so cautious? Do you see him perhaps more competition out of East Europe? So do you expect weaker results in Q2 and Q3? And maybe a second question concerns to the waste management. Here you had pretty good results as well. So are here the earnings sustainable for the year? for the ongoing quarters?
Yeah, Mr. Nacken-Norbert Steiner, answering your question with respect to salt. I think we should stick, and we will always stick to our philosophy, that we take into account the results of the different quarters, like there were in the past and like we have seen the normalized winter season. We have always done the same, and therefore we have not changed our system of planning. We have had, of course, a very good start into the year. We had more than 200,000 tons more of the icing salt compared to the sales figures of the volumes of the first quarter of 2005, which in those days was a record year. Now we have a record first quarter in 2006. And we expect, on the basis of that, what we normally plan, the 10 years average, our last three quarters for this year, and 7 or 8 million in a normalized or even a little bit green winter situation is not that it's not that bad, but we will see.
So a normalized winter, you speak to 7-8 million in EBIT.
I don't have the figure in mind to what it is, what we have to sell as volumes in the fourth quarter, but this is more or less a normalized figure. I would assume more at the conservative end, but not to take everything what we could hope for the last quarter out of the figures. So it's a normalized, a little bit conservative, but not too conservative figure.
So it's only the Q4 results, the Q2 and Q3.
Q2 and Q3 we will see. It depends on the development on the markets, and please don't forget, this is also in a business where we have to face higher energy costs compared to the last year, 2004 and 2005, and this will, of course, we need to bring it to the market, and you know that salt business is not that that easy in certain respect. It's not a question. This was your second assumption. It's not a question of increasing competition from other countries.
Okay.
Yeah? It's more the cost situation with respect to energy and normalized winter.
Yeah. And the second question concerning waste management?
Yeah. Allow me, Bethke, to answer this question, Mr. Nang. I think we have now 3.1 million euro EBIT in the first quarter. I think we cannot say we have to multiply this by four, but I'm very brave in giving you a concrete figure. I think we will be over 10 million this year, because I think not only the normal waste business is doing fine, but we have much higher prices for the alumina and also the copper, which we recycle out of the residues which we get, and also by this our results are nicely fostered this year. So I'm optimistic that we will do over 10, but perhaps not 12. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, please.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. Okay, thank you, gentlemen. There appear to be... we've just had a question, follow-up question from Mr. Richard Schramm. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, I have one additional question concerning... a statement in the press about possible further acquisitions, which was obviously only indicating the possibility that you are financially strong enough to do so, but without having obviously a very precise target in front of you. However, I would be interested if you have a kind of gearing where you think up to this level you would go for further acquisitions and not beyond, or would you say that this is not really the limit at the moment, but that it's more the missing attractive targets? Thanks.
Norbert Steiner again. Mr. Schramm, this is nothing new what we put into our press release. We have always stated that besides and beyond our acquisition of SPL, we were looking for other alternatives, for other opportunities to grow externally, and you are not expecting that we are more precise than we have been in the past. With respect to our acquisition of SPL, together with the cash flow of the Cables S Group and the anticipated cash flow which we expect from those activities, I think we can come down very quickly from the bank borrowings and can reduce it significantly in a very short period of time. And therefore, this was more or less the intention to bring over to the public and to say that having this in mind and having this strong cash flow anticipation in mind, we can envisage that we have the power to shoulder another acquisition of the size that we are just about to doing in Chile. So we have never or always years ago limited ourselves to say, well, rather two acquisitions of 300 million than one of 600 million, which reduces, of course, the risk significantly. But we have always looked to fit, and as you see, we have the financial power to do it, to shoulder it without any bigger limitation. But you have not expected, certainly, that I tell you this is X or this is Y. Okay? Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. We have another follow-up question from Mr. Simon Scott. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, this is Simon Scott from Chevreux. Can I just ask a quick question on energy prices and freight costs, what your outlook is for that going forward, and also would the increase in prices that you'll foresee in potash compensate for this?
To be very frank, Mr. Scott, yes, we see energy costs going up, and I can give you also a figure. We anticipate for this year, for the whole Cables S Group without SPL, round about between 200, that means around about 40 to 50 million more, €40 million more. And on the other hand, I think on the freight side, we don't see too many increases this year. Might be on the one or the other relation even a little bit lower freights than last year. So, and given our total turnover of 2.9 plus something turnover, I think there is a chance at least and to more or less, I do not say fully compensate for this, but I think we might compensate for this, yes. I think especially when we see the potash prices further going up, and so I think we have a chance, yeah.
To add one sentence, we have always given guidance to all our partners amongst the analysts or our investors that with respect to the potash division, one has to take into account not only prices and energy, but also other aspects of the improvement of our business. And Ralf Bethke already mentioned that we are still in the process of improving our efficiency there. And we have also to bring you back to the fact that with respect to our hedging situation, we have calculated an average of $107 vis-a-vis 1 euro compared to 115 last year, which has an impact of roughly 30 million euro. And I don't mind too much so far whether each and every price will compensate for increased costs, as long as we are in a position to have in an overall picture all our divisions better off than last year.
Yes.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. There appear appear to be no further questions at the moment, gentlemen. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise.
Okay, fine. I think there are no other questions. Then, gentlemen, thank you very much for your time and for your interest in our company, and I hope we see us again somewhere in the next time. Have a good time, have a good weekend, especially with this fine weather. Bye-bye.